Dame. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees and visitors alike who have spared their valuable time to come to the Sunday Feast Festival, and also the last day of the celebrations of the Radha Govind Julan Yatra. Indeed, the subject matter that we are about to discuss today is a really deeper one, and it's very it is a life-changing experience of a dying man. And this narration is, we continue the series is of Krishnaika Sharanam, and today is the tipping point of surrender. So I'd like to request the blessings of senior disciples, Srila Prabhupada disciples, and Grace Narthaki Mataji. Request the blessings alike, all the other devotees too. And this series entitled Krishnaika Sharanam is coming to his epitome, is coming to his conclusion. So, are we ready for it? Is a mild response? Mild response? Or Haribo! Definitely it is not that easy. Like this Haribo. And it's not easy for the either for the speaker or for the at least for me, and it's really a challenge. And therefore today we'll go through the challenge which Parikshit Maharaj faced. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is a narration by which when we hear, we actually enter. We enter into the pastimes. And the whole purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to absorb, is to engross and to submerge one's consciousness very deeply into the purports which Srila Prabhupada has given. And these purports are the access to these great souls. And only through these great souls can we access the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Srila Sutta Goswami has been narrating his experience, and he is going to now going to explain the surrender of Parikshit Maharaj, and is saying that Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the Personality of God, and therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of a Brahmana boy. And in this way, the sages of Naimisharanya, they are already performing sacrifice there. They are performing sacrifice, and due to the performance of sacrifice, in fact, this the sages, they are they say, the sages of Naimisharanya are saying to Sutta Goswami, Karmani asmin anavasai dhumna dhumrat manan bhavan apyayati govinda pada padma vasan madhu. That we have just begun the performance of the fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without the certainty of its result due to many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, Govinda which you are distributing. So this is what happens. In fact, the sages of Naimisharanya are declaring to Suta Goswami that this sacrifice has given us only two things: doubt and smoke. Doubt about the uncertainty of his fulfillment, and smoke because so much smoke is coming, therefore we are just getting bodies black. The suit, in fact, the first initiation sacrifice which Srila Prabhupada actually conferred in New York, 22nd Avenue, that time Srila Prabhupada ordered all the doors and windows to be closed, and the sacrifice took place, and then there was so much of smoke. The smoke was burning the eyes, getting the eyes to become wet and hurting, coughing. And Prabhupada said, this type of smoke is purifying. Because that sacrifice was to inaugurate the Sankirtan mission, the first mission. And then after this sacrifice was over, and Srila Prabhupada said, we have expanded our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. This is the first expansion. The expansion of consciousness through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And therefore here, Srila Suta Goswami is saying, is being requested by the sages of Naimisharanya to focus on the essence. To focus on the essence of the, on the person who was of essence. And therefore there was no possibility of any nonsense. Because it was 100% essence. Hearing essence about a person who is full of essence. Saragrahi, Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit, being cursed, was not afraid of the age of Kali. Neither the Takshaka bird. Because he knew that in this age of Kali, the most great benediction is to chant, remember and hear the names and the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's said here that Parikshit Maharaj was a realist, like the bees who accept the essence of a flower. And he knew perfectly well that in this age of Kali, what is the greatest benediction? The greatest benediction is that auspicious things, they produce good effects immediately. And inauspicious acts must be actually performed to render effect. Just by thinking about an auspicious act, you get the benefit of performing that activity. And for performing an inauspicious act, you really have to go with the flow of Kali to get the result. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is so happy with this age of Kali. In fact, he feels more secure that this is such an easy gateway. Therefore, for a person who's about to die in 7 days, curse to die in 7 days, what can be done? What preparation could be possibly made? In this age of Kali, what is because 7 days, even seven seconds of purifying consciousness is enough to guarantee the highest benediction, that is love of God. And that is possible through the benediction of the holy names of the Lord, which are supremely purifying. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is not caring for the personality of Kali, neither worried about this upcoming effect of the curse, of the snake bite. And therefore, Suta Goswami is also giving encouragement to the sages of Naimisharanya to delve into the deeper subject matter of Parikshit Maharaj's surrender. And therefore here, the value of the association of devotees is being emphasized by Suta Goswami. Tulyama lavenapi na swargam na punarbhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimutashisha. That a valley of moments association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are those meant for death. And therefore, the devotees of the Lord are very, very focused what they want. You ask people in this world, what do they want? And they are really puzzled, quizzed and perplexed. What do I want? So they start thinking about what they could have wished for. And then the whole conflict goes, what do they want actually? And here, one of the very great sages, saints of the Sri Sampradaya, his name is Bhakti Sar. Name also is Bhakti Sar. Why? Because he really wanted what he wanted. He really knew what he wanted. Therefore, there was nothing. There was not an iota of indecisiveness, of perplexity or confusion as what is the goal of life. And that's what he was always in the temple of Sri Rangam, and he was remembering and chanting the names of the Lord, and he used to do a very simple act. He used to wear torn clothes, something like Sridhar Kolavecha in Mahaprabhu's pastime, and he would keep sewing that old cloth which would get torn otherwise. So Lord Shiva and Parvati were once touring the planet, and they came to this holy place and they found that this person is a very, 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 very noble personality. It's a very elevated soul. So let us give some benediction. We want to give something to this person. So Lord Shiva and Parvati appeared before Bhakti Sar, who was so engrossed in his activity of sewing the cloth. And then Lord Shiva asked him, what does he want? And he said, well, I don't want anything, Bhakti Sar said. He said, ask for something, I have come here to give something to you. He said, well, actually, there is nothing that actually I require. And then he said, offer him wealth. He said, we don't want wealth. He said, offer him the post of Brahma. He said, no, I am not interested in the post of Brahma. So offer him a position like yourself. Bhakti Sar says, you already got enough trouble. Why are you making me to embrace that trouble? Parvati is always coaxing Lord Shiva, ask this, ask that. So I don't want to become like you. Thank you so much. What do you want? What can we give to that person? This was the worry of both of them. And he said, okay, I'll ask something just to satisfy your lordships. He said, okay, this straw needle, I have a straw needle. This is not even a metal needle. And the thread keeps slipping away from the straw needle very occasionally. Please allow that this thread may not displace itself from the straw needle. That is what I want. Parvati says, this is insult. This is what he is asking. What does he think? Does he know that who we are? Does he really believe that we are Lord Shiva and Parvati? Maybe this is a problem. So no, I'm sure about that. You know, you are. I really know who you are, but this is only what I want. And then Lord Shiva is angry, presses his toe, and then there is the fire of destruction which goes to attack Bhakti Sar. As long as it's there, as long as he's talking, it's okay, now let's do something by which his real, the real consciousness will emerge. Immediately, as the fire came to attack him, there was Bhakti Sar's prayers. By the power of his prayers, there was heavy downpour of rain. It extinguished the fire, not only extinguished the fire, but completely submerged the seven walls of the temple completely with the flood. And suddenly, like a cork, Bhakti Sar just was floating on the top of the flood. Lord Shiva and Parvati came to realize that this is the greatness of such a devotee, fantastic devotee of the Lord. And this is how his name became Bhakti Sar. He doesn't want anything but devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is also with this consciousness. He has prepared his consciousness well ahead before this challenge. And here, in this way, the association, Parikshit Maharaj is hankering for this kind of association, and the Sudh Goswami is now going to narrate the most wonderful pastime as this topic goes, that this is the being blessed by the curse. Being blessed by the curse. How come I become blessed by the curse? And Parikshit Maharaj's this pastime starts with Ekada. Once upon a time. This once upon a time is a real serious once upon a time. This time is a very, very critical time. And Srila Prabhupada therefore mentions in the end of the purport that this once upon a time indicates that this was the beginning of a great celebration. This is the beginning of a great universal cosmic event. What we are about to witness, are going to witness a lot of situations unfavorable. We are going to hear about unfavorable people. We are going to understand how unfavorably the consciousness could become in such unfavorable atmosphere. It's very easy to be a fair weather devotee when everything is nice, when everything is cool, when everything is just the kind of, you know, austerity that we want. Not too much. The minimum amount of austerity. But then when it goes beyond, then it really becomes difficult. And therefore here, Parikshit Maharaj is, while engaged in hunting in the forest with bow and arrows, so please don't ask why he was hunting. He was a Vaishnava. In fact, I was just thinking about, you know, why do Kshatriyas go out for hunting? Kshatriyas go out for hunting because they have to practice, right? If the players don't have net practice, then how will they make in the finals, right? The match. Similarly, the Kshatriyas would go out for practicing hunting and will kill only wild deers and boars. Compared to what kind of hunting that is going on now? Hunting is not even seen now. It is all in closed factory shops. Unlimited number of slaughterhouses. Anyone asking this question, why were Kshatriyas hunting? Because they didn't open slaughterhouses like today's. They would only kill the necessary amount just to protect the citizens. Parikshit Maharaj was a king, was a Kshatriya, and he performed his duty so well. But this time when he went to the forest, it was not the ordinary time. It was not the ordinary hunting excursion. There was something waiting for Parikshit. And this time, Parikshit was feeling fatigue. He was tired. He was tired, first of all, emotionally. And then there was physical exhaustion, hunger and thirst. This will feel after some time. After 2:30, we'll experience the same emotion. So you can actually keep this as a reminder. What did Parikshit Maharaj do when he was fatigued, when he was hungry, when he was thirsty? And here, he was searching for a reservoir of water and he entered the hermitage of a well-known Samyak Rishi. Samyak Rishi, and he was sitting with his eyes closed. The Muni was perfectly fixed in trance with his sense organs, mind, intelligence, restrained from material activities. And he had achieved a transcendental position. And in this way, Parikshit was looking towards the sage. The king is coming to a subject's hermitage, a sage, and he was not asking for a royal meal. He was not asking for the Mahaprasad, the Rajbhog. He was asking for just a glass of water. And he was asking, and this time, first of all he was thirsty, found Shamik Rishi, found him meditating. At the same time, he was impelled. Parikshit was impelled to, he was drawn as if to request this sage for water. It was an awkward situation, it was an awkward position. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Parikshit was just thus placed in an awkward position so that gradually Srimad Bhagavatam could be revealed. Just like Arjun was placed in an awkward situation in the battlefield of Kurukshetra so that the Bhagavad Gita could be revealed. And therefore we are sitting here because of this awkward situation. So how can we blame an awkward situation in our life? Maybe it's said that sometimes a ship which is in distress ultimately becomes a signal for the other ships to ply safely. So maybe sometimes the ship is in difficult position, yet it will actually be a hope for others. It doesn't mean that we are a sinking ship and sinking hopes, but actually this is Parikshit Maharaj's ship here, which is caught in a storm. And here, this is providential. Prabhupada mentions here that this awkward situations would definitely come in a devotee's life too. And here, why is Parikshit, who is being attacked by the Brahmastra while in the womb of his mother, would not feel thirsty by the heat of the Brahmastra, and now Parikshit is hungry when he is a grown-up king? A child in the womb of the mother, attacked by the heat of the Brahmastra, was not affected. Then how is that Parikshit is now affected with thirst? And therefore, here, these pastimes have to be understood. The Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from the external and from the internal point of view. External point of view for the sadhakas, an internal point of view for the devotee, and relishing that connection with the devotee, for the relishing the connection of the devotee with the Supreme Lord. And therefore here we try to understand this pastime from the external and the internal factors. Srila Prabhupada, today is a very significant day. Today Srila Prabhupada departed from Kolkata on the ship Jaladuta. Today morning we are hearing from Gauranga Prabhu about that. How Srila Prabhupada struggled to be on that ship. And then this is how Srila Prabhupada was mentioning again and again to his disciples in conversations. He was talking that how he was also placed in an awkward situation by Krishna. And he was saying that somehow my business collapsed. So some devotees asked, how is that your business collapsed? Actually he said, when the astrologer saw my future, he said, you are going to be a rich and a wealthy person. Of course, Prabhupada thought that, rich and wealthy businessman. He never thought of rich and a wealthy sadhu. Right? So that was the difference, that it was not the businessman that, of course, Prabhupada said, actually, I'm a perfect businessman also. Why? Because Prabhupada said, a perfect businessman has four things: land, capital, labor, and organization. And I accomplished all of them immaculately. I chose the land. To perform a business, one has to suitably select a location. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that, I will not go to London. I will go to New York. So Prabhupada selected America as the land. Amazing. No other place would have been that successful as much as the United States of America would have become. And Prabhupada said, I had capital. What was the capital? The capital of 40 rupees. Externally. Internally it was the faith in the order of his spiritual master. And that was the books. Signified by the books. Land. Capital. 40 rupees. labor Americans. Prabhupada said, just see, I am not, they are serving me and they are paying me also. What kind of servant can one get who works for you at the same time pays the master? Prabhupada said, these devotees are going out distributing books and they are giving money to me. They are serving to me. I am Americans, Europeans, all of them as my servants. When he is talking to, non-devotees. So he explained that also. And ultimately, organization. Prabhupada said, I organized. Why Srila Prabhupada was able to organize? Because he was he had his business also quite organized. Then what went wrong when everything was perfect? If Srila Prabhupada was having the right kind of acumen, he was having the right qualification, his future was bright in business. He thought that I will try to make money and then spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And the Bengal Chemicals came with the offer at that time to take up the agency. And Srila Prabhupada was getting offers from Smith Stanstreet, the Bose Chemicals. Dr. Bose was there, whose employer. And he felt that everyone is wanting me. Prabhupada is just mentioning this very privately with his disciples, very intimately. Just explaining him the external. But he said that, actually, I was thinking that I should have just taken that offer. I don't know, why did I take that offer? They would have given me everything in due course of time. But I was puffed up. Prabhupada mentions like that. He says very humbly, I was puffed up. I was a young man, I was puffed up. So I was thinking, why should I? I will dictate my terms. And I lost that opportunity. And then as I was becoming successful in my job at Dr. Bose, there were many others who became envious of me. And then when I took that agency and there were some tendencies, envious tendencies, and they complained, and then finally Dr. Bose, there's a difficulty with Dr. Bose, and then I separated and then I started my own business. Prabhupada was forced to accept this awkward position by the will of the Lord. And he said that my argument with Krishna was that I would want to earn money and then spread Krishna consciousness. That was my way of argument with Krishna. That, you know, first of all, I'd have to have something, then I can do something. But Krishna had other way around. Even a pauper can spread the Hare Krishna movement. That was Krishna's argument. And this is an amazing fact. An old man, 70 years old, we were hearing the other day that somewhere that one elderly gentleman who was 70 years old, and he was telling that, you know, you do not know. I think he was saying to Shivram Swami Maharaj, you do not know what your spiritual master has done. He said, yeah, we know. No, you don't know. He said, we know, he has done so much. No, you don't know. I am 70 years old and I can understand what your Guru Maharaj did. Before Srila Prabhupada came through Jalduta, in fact, some of these initial disciples, Hayagriva Prabhu and everyone else, also had journeyed to India through a cargo ship. I think it's presumably the same ship, Jaluduta actually. And they said, the cargo ship, pitches and rolls. There is a pitching moment and there is a rolling moment. Pitching is like this and rolling is like that. And you cannot sleep, you cannot eat properly. This is how, in order to understand what Srila Prabhupada did, departure for USA is a very intense subject matter. It's not just that we read Lilamrita and we can understand. Probably we'll never be able to understand what Prabhupada went through. So many things happened and Srila Prabhupada did, which is not even recorded or not even... Srila Prabhupada never... The amazing fact of this great personality is that he did so much, but he never said, I went through such a lot of struggle. After he established the movement. Generally, you know, you find people, you know how much I struggled. I did this, then I did that. Then, you know, emphasize the struggle more so that people may realize the value of your personality. But Prabhupada, in his later, in his years after the movement spread, there is no mention of how he has struggled. He was struggling more without the mention of a struggle. He was living struggle to spread the mission of the spiritual master. And therefore, here Parikshit Maharaj is placed in an awkward position so that Parikshit will struggle to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead almost instantly. In the later years when Srila Prabhupada was getting amazing success, in Los Angeles was one of the most vibrant and the most successful role model ISKCON temple in the West. And Prabhupada wanted to make the ISKCON headquarters. But sooner, there was some discrepancy in the behavior of his disciples, very neophyte disciples at that time. They were getting affected, some of them, and they started to minimize position of Srila Prabhupada. So sometimes the founder Acharya name was missing, somewhere the photos were, the pictures were not respected properly. Prabhupada, for those who minimize his position, gave sannyas to them. The ones who minimized Srila Prabhupada's position were given sannyas. And those who speculated that Srila Prabhupada is God later, the other extreme, Prabhupada banned them. Why? Because that was a threat to the movement. And this was just an insult to person. So minimization of his personality, Srila Prabhupada awarded them. Okay, now you take sannyas and you preach. Don't remain here. Go and preach. Better do something constructive. Srila Prabhupada is some amazing personality. One would never be able to imagine. And then, when this is all happening in Los Angeles and he's praying to Rukmini Dwarkadish, I have come here to set up this movement on the order of my spiritual master, and why are you sending me back from this place? And he cried and praying to Rukmini Dwarkadish. The deity said, I will give you a better place than Vatsika. And that is the place, the best, the better place than Vatsika was the Krishna Balaram temple in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Prabhupada said, actually, I thought that, you know, my service to my spiritual, it is my instruction, the instruction given to me to preach in the Western world, and I thought that for my God brothers, the Indian scene was reserved for them. So I thought I will never come back to India to preach. That was the kind of respect that Srila Prabhupada had for his God brothers. That they would preach here in India, and I would rather do that service in the difficult places. So, this is how it happened. And here, similar way, Parikshit Maharaj is, the sages is meditating. And in this unprecedented behavior, it was not warranted by Parikshit Maharaj to do an act like this. He was not received any formal welcome, so he was feeling neglected. He became angry. And actually, this is how a guest have to be received. But because the sage was in trance, so he should have, it was Parikshit Maharaj would have understood it, that I should actually not do something like that. But he took a dead snake while living and placed it on the neck of Shamik Rishi. This is inconceivable. Therefore it is said one should never judge the actions of a pure devotee. A pure devotee cannot judge the action of another pure devotee. Actually. So what to speak of us devotees judging the actions of other devotees. So therefore, this is what actually happened in this amazing realization that Gisgis Govind Prabhu was mentioning in one of the classes, that one should see everything. If at all we have to judge, we should know how Krishna would judge in that situation. If we cannot understand how Krishna can judge, then how can we judge? How can we see that judgment? So here, in this situation, outwardly these situations are very frustrating to devotees, but the devotees are always under the protection of the Lord, and in any condition, frustration or success, The Lord is a supreme guide for the devotees. In fact, there are two devotees, two nice stories of devotees who were like that in initial years. Giriraj Maharaj mentions about a devotee named as Crazy Peter. This Crazy Peter was, in which temple? He was Los Angeles temple. And he would come there. He started in which place? But he would come to this temple, Boston. I think it's Boston. Then he came. But that's where the place where actually in the Boston temple, he would just lie, come only for prasadam. Like we call riff-raff crowd that just come for prasadam. 3 o'clock, right? The right time for prasadam. So something like Crazy Peter was one of those in those years. And those times, devotees didn't want, it was a little crazy too. So devotees, when Srila Prabhupada came, so devotees wanted to ask, what to do with this person? Said, Prabhupada, just allow him. Just let him come. So he would come, have prasadam. After some time, he became a little serious. He started to wash vessels in the kitchen. That's real serious service. And he would be really a very low-key devotee. And then after some years, Giriraj Maharaj was in Nivrindavan and found that this person is a familiar face. And they asked this, is this Crazy Peter? He said, no, this is not Crazy Peter. This is Krushakrata Prabhu. Those who know Krushakrata Prabhu, he left his body in Vrindavan 2 or 3 years ago. Mother, yes. Literatures.
Literatures. So while he was even in the last stages of his illness, he was not able to take care of the bodily functions anymore. He was being served that way. But he was holding a pen and a paper while lying down and composing Sanskrit glorifications, verses in glorification of the Lord. And he passed away in the Dharma like that.
Jai His Grace Kushakrita Prabhu Ki. No more Crazy Peter. We do not know. In fact, we do not know the devotee sitting next, who this great soul may be. So we should keep it in the heart. We should not just, Prabhu, you are a great soul. Everybody is a great soul, actually. But we should be convinced of that. In fact, we should expect more of the devotees, that this devotee, surely right now he may be very conditioned, but he's going to be a great soul, sooner or later. In such an assembly of Vaishnavas, where is the place for envy? Where is the place for jealousy? Where is the place for competition? In this way, we can see that if we have to go back to Godhead, we have to go all together. Janyavaspu mentioned. We have to go back to Godhead all together, or we are all staying back here and going in the next batch. Next year. Next round of admissions. So, this is how Crazy Peter would be, and Lilananda Prabhu was here, another Srila Prabhupada disciple. He was talking about another situation in this was in Paris, where Indradevna Maharaj was heading the facilities there. the preaching there. And there was another devotee, another person, actually was a real niggard, was a very disheveled person. He was a very unkempt, he would never bathe. But he would just keep coming in association of devotees, and devotees would just not allow them to come to the temple. So when Srila Prabhupada came, somehow or other he would follow, would try to come in front of Srila Prabhupada, the devotees would just shoo him away from far off distance. And they wanted, and they called this devotee as Big Ben. Because Big Ben was a character in the American cartoons, who was unkempt and a very disheveled personality. So that's how they compared to this so-called person with the Big Ben. And when Srila Prabhupada was going on a morning walk, he was hiding in the bushes. Suddenly he jumped and grasped hold of Prabhupada's feet from the front. And what he said, the Big Ben is back here. I don't know what difficulty is going to create for us. So they had they were thinking to guard this Big Ben so that he would not come in front of Srila Prabhupada. But when Srila Prabhupada went back to the temple for the greeting of the deities, and this Big Ben was there in the temple all alone. And he met, Prabhupada met him, he again clasped feet of Srila Prabhupada, crying. Prabhupada patted, took his hand, touched his hand and said, it's okay, it's all right. And then everyone knew that Big Ben got mercy of Srila Prabhupada, so what can be done? So then he got a locker in the temple, so he could stay in the temple. He did not go through VTA and Brahmachari training, and then he was accepted. And he got everything, and then he was staying in the temple, and then he was just doing some very menial services of cleaning. First of all, what they did to the Big Men, they shaved him up, they bathed him nicely, got him dressed up, and then he descended down and looked like a demigod. And then, this Big Ben after some time, I'd like to go and distribute books. He said, come on, you're a crazy person, you can't distribute books. You can't be doing that. You stay here and you clean the temple. That's good for you. No, Lord, allow him. Somehow that he went along with the devotees, went out with the books. And when he came back, he just disappeared from the Sankirtan party and then came back and he had no books with him. He said, this person must have given all the books for free. how can he come? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj writes the story. Naked Pencho, the story of a young boy who was, moving naked in the village, became a high court district magistrate, and then said, okay, this Pencho has become district magistrate, I can't believe it. Okay, even if he has become, he must not be taking fees. Because, he must be doing free of cost. He must not be charging, because he must just getting that post onto free service. So that's the tendency. Okay, how can this devotee become so advanced? We see very few devotees who have come way behind, and then we see, is that the devotee whom I saw? Whom we saw? So that's how it becomes in Krishna consciousness. That is the magic. And this Big Ben became a Sankirtan distributor, book distributor, and then this devotee, when he found, is one of the sannyasis in ISKCON now. So, his initiated brahmachari name is Rasada. So, Rasada Prabhu. So this is how one cannot judge. And therefore, Parikshit's response cannot be judged in an ordinary way. He treated, and when he was returning back, he began to contemplate and argue within himself. And in one sense, this contemplation is so important. And for an aspiring devotee to become very serious in Krishna consciousness, serious introspection. Have I hurt someone with my words, with my speech? Have I done something which has disturbed devotees? Am I doing which is actually threatening the integrity of the movement? Am I living my life to the fullest honesty and integrity? Without this honest introspection and contemplation, the possibility for advancement in Krishna consciousness becomes very much stunted. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is actually responding to the call of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was thinking about this as he was returning. But now we turn over to Sringi, the son of Shamik Rishi. Now imagine, nothing was happening to the Sringi. His father was offended. But his son was an inexperienced Brahmana. He was a child, but he was having the power of a Brahmana because he was trained nicely by his father. And even in that age, and he was a powerful Brahmana because of a powerful Kshatriya like Parikshit Maharaj. It is not that one can become qualified by his one own qualification itself, by one's own strength. We are a combination of so many contributions. We are a collection of contributions of so many wonderful devotees that we are here now. And now that we have built up something, and that's what our sincerity, which is the product of mercy of so many devotees, has brought us to this situation. And Sringi forgot that his power was also contributed by Parikshit Maharaj. He forgot that. Therefore, this is what one can never forget. What the devotees in our early years have done for us. You can always do that introspection. Who were we 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, and what we were doing? And then someone just mercifully came to us and just fetched prasad day after day after day. No, tolerated our nuisances, our nonsenses for such a long time. And then that's how we become. And then Sringi was thinking, just see, just look at the sins of the rulers who are like the crows and the watchdogs at the door. How dare they enter and then they conspire against their masters, contrary to the principle of governing servants. And therefore, these people who are like watchdogs must stay at the door. They should not enter inside. How dare they enter inside? And not only that, but they are claimed to dine on the same plate of the master. And therefore, Sringi became very proud and arrogant. Now, basically, these two chapters are like transition of a new devotee coming, a new bhakta coming and becoming great soul like Shukdev Goswami. Starts with Sringi. The earlier devotees are like, earlier stages, very new devotees like Sringi. We judge us almost instantly. We also label some devotees as being a particular kind. And then probably our relationship, we can't see those devotees in a brighter light after some time, when we have maintained that kind of thing. But we'll find that if Sringi was like that, Shamik Rishi was a little mature. He was like a Madhyam Adhikari. If Sringi was like representing a Kanishtha Adhikari, then he was, because he could understand, he could worship, he was worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is saying that after departure of Lord Shri Krishna, these upstarts like this Parikshit, they have flourished in absence of our protector Krishna. So he was worshipping Krishna, he was a devotee of Krishna. Sringi was not a Mayavadi. Sringi was a devotee. But therefore I shall myself take up this matter and I punish them. Just witness my power. So when a neophyte devotee is given some position and power, we generally find so many conflicts arise. Because the tendency is to put up our position over service. That's what Bharat Maharaj is exemplifying. He is taking the service without the position. And that's what Ramayana is all about. No one wants any position. Everyone wants service. In fact, this very nice pastime is there, that how one should treasure the service. We were in Tirupati Dham, and this wonderful acharya, which actually once who went on the order of Shripad Ramanacharya up the hill, Shripad Anantacharya. There was nothing there, there was just forest there, just wild animals, ferocious lions, tigers, nothing, very austere situations. He was told to go there and worship the Lord. So he was digging the lake for Balaji. Digging the lake a little deeper and a little wider. And that is a lake called as Ramanuja Pukur, and he was having a Ramanuja garden by which he was offering everyday flowers for the pleasure of Balaji. Very amazing leelas. So when he was digging this lake, he was transferring, the wife of Anantacharya was taking the mud away. She was pregnant and Anantacharya was digging all day long. And then Lord comes as a Brahmana boy and says, let me help you. Anantacharya, he rejects this proposal and says, you go away, don't take away my service. This is my only service. And he says that, this is the only service that I have. Why do you want to take away my service? And he says that, this is how a devotee treasures the service given to him. So Anantacharya was so much obsessed that this is my opportunity to serve. I cannot give up my service to someone. And this is how in this situation Parikshit Maharaj, Sringi, Shamik Rishi and Shukdev Goswami, as we should see to appear, these are gradations. How Sringi would be very inexperienced, judge a devotee by the external and then even offend devotees. And therefore this offense is created because of judging, judgmental, being judgmental in Krishna consciousness. So this is how we'll find that Shamik Rishi, when he came to know, in fact, when he came back to the hermitage, he saw that the dead snake was on the neck of his father, and the father heard from the son. In fact, Sringi, even without his father's consent, he pronounced the curse because he came to know from a distance. He cursed there and there itself without seeing his father. Without even trying to probe, he cursed and he said, on the seventh day from today, a snake bird will bite the most wretched one of that dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, because of having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father. And here, this is Prabhupada said, this was the beginning of the misuse of the Brahmanical power, and gradually the Brahmanas in the age of Kali Yuga became divided of both Brahmanical powers and culture. And therefore the boy returned to the hermitage, and Shamik Rishi, when he came out of his meditation, he did not congratulate his son that so nice, you give a very fair judgment to the offender. But he began to repent. And he was, what a great sinful act was performed by my son. He was awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense. And therefore, this is General Shamik Rishi did not take the offense, even it was offense, very seriously. Sometimes someone says something to us and then we take it so seriously. It runs in our mind night before we go to bed, next day morning, churn it the whole day, expand it, like, you know, fermentation, then idli is cooked out of it. And then chutney also we'll put. And then we distribute to everyone in terms of gossip and prajalpa. So therefore, when one devotee left, so Srila Prabhupada talked about that devotee and then, you know, how this devotee left. And then what Srila Prabhupada gave him a very private, in private, he just, that devotee disclosed just in private letter to Srila Prabhupada, and then he just spread to everyone that this devotee has fallen down. Prabhupada said, just because of you, that devotee, even if he had to come back, will not come back now. So generally the tendency is that when we don't find devotees coming to the Sunday feast for a long time, so Prabhu, where were you? In Maya. Take prasad now regularly. So then these devotees feel that they're coming here just to be back, just to be accepted. And many, because of our inexperience and our inexperienced enthusiasm, basically. It's not that we really not will wish for these devotees, but we want them to come back, but the right way to do it. So Shamik Rishi knew the right way, but his son was not willing to accept that guidance, and he very instantaneously and spontaneously committed that offense. But after all that thing, what happened was Maharaj Parikshit was he justified that this Maharaj Parikshit is such a pious king and this is not the right way. And when Maharaj Parikshit went back, he went with a very heavy heart and he just didn't go with regret. It's mentioned by Srila Prabhupada here that the king regretted his accidental improper treatment of the powerful Brahmana who was faultless. Such repentance is natural for a good man like the king, and such repentance delivers a devotee from all kinds of sins accidentally committed. Accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted, and by the grace of the Lord, all sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. And then Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the other purports that by illusory energy, a devotee is sometimes dragged in the modes of material nature, but by the modes of the nature will subside by the will of the Lord in the form of repentance and penance in the life of the devotee. So repentance is good, but there must be a penance after that. There must be a program to rectify by atonement. And this is also, we'll find that Vidura, it happened similarly with Vidura also, that he was misjudged, misunderstood by Duryodhan. He was giving good advice to Dhritarashtra. Give up your son. One son, if you give up, the whole dynasty will be saved. So give up the son. But Vidura was misunderstood and he was banished from the kingdom. And while Vidura was being insulted like this, though being a well-wisher, what did Vidura do in the heart of his heart? He thanked Duryodhan. Thank you. I wouldn't have gone out of this palace by my own accord. I was still attached to the palace, the palatial affairs. But now you have given me such a nice opportunity that I can completely become detached. And then this is how Vidura also is taking an opportunity. And here Parikshit Maharaj is taking this regret and repentance and is converting into a very valuable opportunity. Due to my neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, I must certainly expect some difficulty to overcome me in the near future. A devotee knows when he does something wrong, he must be ready to be responsible and accountable for his wrongdoing. And therefore, a devotee must become responsible. Prabhupada was once in a temple and he was seeing, and devotees said to him, Jayadeva Maharaj mentions, that he told to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, this deities are smiling just because you have come here. Prabhupada said, that is my anxiety. While I am here, deities are smiling. And while I'm gone, will you be taking care of that responsibility? Srila Prabhupada installed Radha Gopinath in Melbourne, right? The first deities, and Prabhupada saying that, you know, he's praying to the deities while leaving, and I'm leaving you in the hands of the Mlechas. Now you only take care of yourself. I mean, like, Prabhupada was, because sometimes they use very innovation. They were so creative. So one time they made an altar. There were Gornithai in the front and there were Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in the rear. So when they'll press a button, then it'll rotate and come back. And Prabhupada was offering obeisances and there was Gornithai Darshan, and suddenly when Prabhupada got up, he saw Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. They thought Prabhupada will be very much happy, pleased with the kind of innovation that we have made. Prabhupada said, this is not your... This is not your mannequin that you can display in a very innovative and creative way. These are deities, these are persons. Prabhupada was giving them the highest at a very low, the lowest qualification. But then Srila Prabhupada was in Hawaii, another difficult place for devotees to sustain. Devamai Swami Maharaj mentioned when last time he came, the most difficult place to sustain devotional service, because the right temperature, the right environment, the right kind of vibrations, just to fall in Maya. But that was the best place for Srila Prabhupada to write his books. Just imagine, for a neophyte, this is the most difficult place, and Prabhupada translated most of his work in that peaceful environment. So it's not the environment, it is the environment inside which can create difficulty. But as long as that environment does not fructify and mature to that frequency, that care has to be taken. So Srila Prabhupada was saying that the deities are very gorgeously decorated. And Prabhupada said that when you decorate the deities, you're decorating your own heart. And if you fail to decorate the deities, you will fail and neglect to decorate your own heart, and then you will fall down. And Prabhupada said that's the cause of so many devotees living from this temple. Just because the deities are not offered with umpteen, as we are seeing here, so much wonderful decorations are going on. What is happening? The devotees' hearts are being decorated when we offer the worship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, to also receive the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we are offering our prayers, we are actually decorating our heart by coming here. It's not that the pujaris are only doing the seva. By coming here and having the darshan of the Lord, it's as good as performing archa seva personally to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, one must feel that joy, one must feel that happiness, that the Lords are decorated so nicely. They are being served nicely. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is now going deeper and saying that I must suffer for my own misdeeds, and I must not allow the impact of my misdeeds to my family. Therefore, I will disconnect myself internally from the impact of the offense that I have committed. And that's how the first step is that of regret and repentance. Second step is that of responsibility and accountability, that we take responsibility. So therefore, this is the gradual progression of how a sadhaka can become capable enough to receive the grace of the mercy coming to the great souls. And then comes self-purification. He's now saying that I am uncivilized and I am sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection. He did just one wrong in a million good things. Generally, we count the one good thing that we have done in the all wrong things that we have done. But Parikshit Maharaj is seeing one wrong thing which he did among so many good things. At least I have done this. No, I should be given some concession. I have been so serious for such a long time and I have just done one small thing. But that one small thing, Parikshit Maharaj took it as a self-purification and he was expecting a kind of a reaction. In fact, that's why that self-purification, in fact, there is this nice story there in the disciple of Shyamanand Prabhu. Shyamanand Prabhu was giving a discourse on the Srimad Bhagavatam in the kingdom of Rajgara, where the king was Vaidyanath Banja. This king was hearing, and in the middle of the Bhagavatam recitation, the minister came with some official communication. So he was waiting to communicate with the king, and the king was hearing, but his attention slightly diverted to that minister. Immediately this Ramakrishna, he got up, he chastised the king and slapped the king. The king fainted. I mean, everyone was shocked. What is this? Because no one could see that, you know, the king was inattentive. But he was attentive that he was inattentive. The king got up and, you know, he just... Ramakrishna said, you are not paying attention to Bhagavad Katha. And that was quite serious in that sense. Of course, that happened some 400 years ago. So we can take some relaxation. interest, because depreciation, we can take depreciation rate and then we can say, okay, this much allowed and in attention. But that was a kind of, and that king, he really repented and he said that, no, actually it's my fault and I should have heard the Srimad Bhagavatam attentively. And also that past time when the king was not, he didn't retort back. He accepted that this was my self-purification. I needed this. And this again in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime in the Rath Yatra, the minister was trying to get the darshan of Mahaprabhu and who was Srivas Thakur, and he was trying to nudge Srivas Thakur a little bit, and Srivas Thakur was getting disturbed. So he also slapped very tightly to the minister of the king. But he took a little time to realize, and therefore some slaps do come in our life also, like this, some shocks. And then we think, what was that? That was a kick of Maya, or that was a pinch of Krishna. We can take it the way that we want. We can take it as a kick of Maya, or we can take it as a pinch of Krishna. That depends upon how much we expect that self-purification for our life. And therefore here, after going to that, the king was repenting, and he was acceptance, he accepted it, and he was indifferent to the consequences that were going to come to him. He went, so the fourth stage is acceptance. I am ready to accept what is going to come in my life. And at that time, indifference to what the world may say, indifference to what may happen to me, regardless of that. And that leads to renunciation. Immediately he renounced everything, and he was determined to go on the suitable location. And therefore here it is said that renunciation is important, detachment. And the real detachment is the detachment from the I-ness and minus, I and mine. That is the last thing that one can. So Suta Goswami was once narrating a Bhagavat narration to Janak Maharaj, and Janak Maharaj was hearing, and there were many other rishis also in that assembly. But Suta Goswami was only paying attention to Janak Maharaj. So the rishis felt, maybe Suta Goswami must be getting some favors from Janak Maharaj at the end of the recitation. Therefore, he is only looking at Janak Maharaj. Suta Goswami could understand what the rishis were thinking. Immediately, by his mystic potency, he created fire. Everything started burning. Everything started collapsing. And then immediately the rishis started to panic. All the nine treasures of the Janak Maharaj's kingdom started to burn away into ashes. And all the rishis went to the resorts. Oh, this is my water jug, my hermitage, my cloth. They were all running helter-skelter, going to their own places to retrieve their possessions and their property. And then Janak Maharaj was sitting there peacefully. So Mithila is burnt. Mithila is burnt. Let Mithila be burned. I have nothing to do with Mithila. And this was the renunciation of Janak Maharaj. That when it goes, then what happens? So practically that experience is what Parikshit Maharaj is going through when he was giving up. This was the kind of experiencing of renunciation and detachment. And after that, he didn't go back to the same old place. He was not going to have going to call the sages to his palace to have Bhagavad Sapta. He decided to go to the bank of the Yamuna. And therefore, the next step is to select the ideal location. Location and association is most important in life of a devotee to determine the progress in devotional service. And just like Dhruva was instructed by Narad Muni to go to the bank of Yamuna in the forest of Madhuvan to perform austerities. Because there, the effect of the dham would create a tremendous impact. And the association of Vaishnavas. So wherever there is the association of devotees, one must make that location and association the priority. In all humility and respect, Parikshit Maharaj firmly sat on the bank of the Ganga. And what did he do? He immediately when Parikshit Maharaj went there, all the great sages, they appeared. All the great sages, they came knowing that Parikshit Maharaj is now on his way back to home, back to Godhead. It's a great event to witness. And therefore, all disciples from all different parts of the universe, great sages like Atri, Chavana, Sharadvan, Arishtanemi, Bhrigu, Vasishtha, Parashar, Vishwamitra, Angira, Parashuram, Indra Pramad, and many great sages, Dvaipayan, Vyasdev himself came along with Narad Muni. Why? Because Parikshit's departure was not an ordinary one. They had come to give the blessings, at the same time receive inspiration. Someone going home back to Godhead. Typically, we require these examples in our life. Basically, when we are actually on this yatra to Tirupati with the boys, so we thought of climbing the hill. And when devotee is climbing up the hill, it's a unique experience of trying to connect to our Krishna consciousness. So when you find that there are some devotees who have gone above, before us, so we have some hope. They are not disappeared in thin air, they are going up there. They are not just going anywhere. And sometimes you see there are steps and steps and steps and just steep incline. But there is a very nice facility there. There you get a ticket in the middle of, at the end of 2000 steps. And that ticket you have to get, and you get into the line for Balaji Darshan. A little more prematurely you can enter. For those who go by foot. So when you see there that you get a ticket there, then you feel, Darshan is there. Lord is there. It's not I'm climbing for nothing. So in Krishna consciousness, such indications come in course of time. When you are sincere, if you are sincere, Krishna will send devotees. So some devotees are standing there. Prabhuji, please take the ticket. Oh, really? Okay, good. Devotee is also there, ticket also is there. Basically, devotee is the ticket. Because if you don't have the devotee, you just keep walking. Therefore, the association of the devotees is the real ticket on the way back home, back to Godhead. And ultimately, it is only the devotees who will be there with us in our last journey. So how much we should bank upon the association of devotees? How much we should treasure that association while we are here? So, with all humility and respect, the right association is sent as soon as Parikshit is ready, has expressed a desire, Krishna has sent a facility. The facility comes, Guru Krishna Prasadepaya Bhakti Lata Beach. So in this way, this respect was there. Parikshit Maharaj is offering his respects to all the great sages with very grateful heart. And then with folded hands, he informs that this is my decision to fast until death. We have another fast coming up now. Fast until death. Right? Maybe this is the curse upon India, and then this is the solution, is the fast, basically. So it is, this fast is wanted. Not fasting and just sleeping. But really we want to fast by hearing Krishna Katha. And that was the fasting. The fasting was from all mundane prajalpa, all mundane gossip, and just hearing about Krishna. Sometimes we pray for that occasion. When will you get the time? When purely we get time to hear constantly Hari Katha. That taste was now ready. Parikshit was ready to receive that taste. And therefore, Parikshit was with pride and greatness. Why? Because so many great devotees have come. Because I am connected to the Pandavas, therefore they have come. Not because I have made the decision to go and fast until death. Because I am the descendant of the Pandavas, just being merciful the mercy of my ancestors has brought me this great fortune. And therefore here, Prabhupada was once reclining in the chair and said, you know, a devotee of Krishna is we should be proud that we are servant of Krishna. Because everyone is a servant in this world. But a master is not ordinary. Govindam Adipurusham is our master. Therefore, a devotee should feel proud that one is servant of Krishna. So with that pride, we are not proud that we are of our own devotional service, but our connection to the parampara. our connection to the Supreme Lord. And here, immediately this king, Parikshit, has given up his attire, has given up his, has shed his away his kingly consciousness, and is praying. What is he praying? Again, on offering obeisance to all the Brahmanas, I pray that I should take my birth in the material world. If I have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, I pray that I should again take birth. Why? If, oh Brahmanas, just accept me as a complete surrendered soul and let Mother Ganges also accept me in that way. And let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all go and continue singing the glories of Lord Vishnu. And if I don't go back to Godhead, please let me have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna. Association with his devotees and friendly relations with all living beings. This is the prayer. That is a constant prayer that one can meditate upon. That one, let me have a complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relation with all living beings, respecting everyone. Because maybe today they are Crazy Peter or Big Ben, but they may be soon ahead on the path back to home, back to Godhead. And therefore, here, Parikshit Maharaj is receiving the favor of all the great sages. He is connecting with all of them and is receiving the blessings. He is requesting the blessings of these great sages. Srila Prabhupada was once on a morning walk and he saw that there was a father and there was a son. The son was trying to put a letter in the mailbox, but the son could not reach that mailbox. It was the height. So the father lifted the child so that the child could put the letter in the mailbox. Prabhupada was constantly meditating on that. Prabhupada said, just see, the child has just desire. Child just has desire. It has no capability. It has no qualification. It has no ability. But seeing the sincere desire of the child, the father is willing to lift up the child. And everything is done. Our desire is the only qualification. We have to pick up the mail. What is the mail? The chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Pick up the holy name of the Lord within the deepest cores of our heart and just express the desire to serve in the mission of the spiritual masters. Prabhupada said, just like ourselves, we just had our desire with the spiritual master. Our Gurudev's desire was there to spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world, and we just accepted it with sincerity, and therefore Krishna is lifting us and giving that facility. So similarly, this is what is required. And thereafter, Parikshit Maharaj is making his heart ready for surrender, and he has become now fearful. He is fearless. And therefore, this is the mood of surrender and dependence on the Lord, which is all the more important. Another instance, Srila Prabhupada was on the airport. Prabhupada found a small toddler of 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old, just running and exploring the airport, running and far off. Prabhupada said, just see how he is going fearlessly. But after some time, when the child went a little far ahead and then saw here and there, he could not find his parents, he started crying. Prabhupada said, just see. The child is thinking that I'll be independent and I'll be happy. But as soon as he finds that his parents are not there, he starts crying. Similarly, our situation should be that we should be crying because we are still independent. We are trying to be dependent on Krishna. And therefore, we have to run. When we see that we have gone far away, there is one devotee who left the moment and he said, Prabhupada, I'd like to join your service again. Prabhupada said, if you want to join back again, then you have to accept the rules and regulations. You have to follow the principles. You have to chant Hare Krishna. You have to live in the association of devotees. You have to have this way. What is the point of coming and joining and still maintaining your independence? And Prabhupada said, you are welcome to join me, but giving up your independence. and therefore our independence is our only hurdle to surrender. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj has given up his independence and now he is submitting. Now you decide what has to be done. I have given up all my freedom, my free will at your consent. So he is asking the sages, you decide what is to be done. What is the duty of a dying man? What is the duty of a dying man in particular, and what is the duty of a person in all time, place and circumstances? Please let us know. And the same, this prayer, in the mood and prayer of great surrender, Parikshit Maharaj is offering his intense desire to completely dedicate to the process of devotional service. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also was in a similar mood when he departed for the USA. That's the mood. Today, let us dedicate this day in our lives to developing this mood and prayer which Srila Prabhupada went to the United States of America. One day before he was in Calcutta, when he actually was about to depart, he went to Mayapur Dham. We know that he went to the Samadhi of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to beg his prayers, beg for his blessings. And also, there was one elderly devotee who came to Mayapur ISKCON temple saying that this gentleman is to come to Shantipur when he was a Grahastha. And he is to come and he is to sit back and he is to weep and cry and chant all day long. He used to come very regularly, but after some time he was not to be seen. And then he came suddenly in saffron robes before the same time, and he prayed that I am going to the United States of America to fulfill the mission of my spiritual master. And Shantipur is a place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya Prabhu would have a meeting on how to distribute this Sankirtan mission. Therefore, I have come here to beg blessings in this very prominent place, and I am begging blessings in this place. I am begging for their mercy. Please, you also shower your blessings on me. Prabhupada was in all humility, in all surrender. He didn't know whom he was meeting. Before that, he struggled a lot. His P form was ready. His visa was ready. Prabhupada was always saying to everyone, I want to go to the United States of America. Please help me. Say, Prabhupada would say to everyone, I want to go, this is my desire of Guru Maharaj. So when it's a desire, the desire should be expressed constantly. The secret of devotion service is that. It's like a water droplet which keeps on hitting the rock again and again and again, even dents the rock. So however difficult or impossible our mission may be, our challenge may be, but the constant drops of desire should constantly emanate from our consciousness. Prabhupada was saying to everyone, one person said, okay, I will see. And suddenly he got a clearance from Gopal Agarwal. And Gopal Agarwal also had sent such clearance for many sannyasis. But no one came previously. And he thought, kaun aayega abhi? He will not come. But Prabhupada was waiting for that. He got his clearance. The P form was ready. But the P form was not ready. His visa was ready. His passport got ready. But the P form, which is the clearance of debt and everything, was not ready. And that State Bank of India manager said, we can't do this because who will take care of you after 1 month? He said, no. Get me to your superior. Put my file to your superior. Prabhupada went to the clerk and got his file to the superior and said, this is the mission of my Gurudev. So you please consider. So Prabhupada was begging from this officer. Prabhupada begged from everyone. Prabhupada was in a begging mood. His prayers on the Jaluta are also full of begging. Your insignificant beggar, Bhakti Vedanta Swami, I have neither bhakti nor I have knowledge, but I have simply faith on the order of my spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada was full of a prayerful beggar. And this time Prabhupada went to Shantipur, went to Mayapur. Amazing, he went two places in one day. Inconceivable. We didn't have that fast conveyances those times. I was just wondering how Prabhupada did it in one day before. And next day he was in Calcutta and there was only one person. Shishir Kumar Bhattacharya, a singer, a Kirtaniya singer, a professional singer, no sons, no friends, no well-wishers, no family. But he was full of hope, he was full of energy, he was full of enthusiasm, he was full of anticipation. I am going, finally I have got an opportunity to serve my spiritual master. And that's how Srila Prabhupada departed in that mood and prayer. Similarly like that of Parikshit, always begging and prayerful. And therefore what happened was an invisible chain of cooperation which came in the form of these great acharyas, great sages, and finally in the assembly when everyone was confused, what mandate to give to Parikshit Maharaj? What decisive instruction can we offer to Parikshit? Here comes Shukdev Goswami Maharaj, the son of Vyasdev, enters the assembly, takes up that position, ready to instruct Parikshit, because Parikshit is now ready to accept. So when we are ready to accept, then there'll be people ready to give to us. Gaurang Prabhu was saying in the morning, that lady was asking, if this Krishna consciousness movement was so ancient, why did it take such a long time to come here? Prabhupada said that we were waiting for you to come. Therefore we came this late. Otherwise, we would have come and you would have not been there, and then you would have missed the bus. So here Prabhupada is with that prayer. And this way, this cooperation amongst the devotees for prayer, they were encouraging, inspiring. All of them were there just to inspire Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami so that Parikshit Maharaj's mission would become successful. So our prayers for the mission, for ourselves and for all the devotees are there. And therefore Prabhupada was very much amazingly empowered his disciples. One devotee said, you know, I was got the Fifth Avenue permission for Rath Yatra cart. Prabhupada mentioned, how did you get the permission? He said, we wrote in the permission letter that, you know, we are doing a small procession with three handheld carts. Handheld carts. So they thought it must be a small thing. Handheld carts won't be like a mechanical huge thing. They suddenly found there were huge handheld carts with thousands of people joining. Prabhupada said, just like Vaman Dev just asked three steps of land. Similarly, you ask only three handheld carts. This was amazing. Prabhupada said, it's not that you have to be, only I am doing. And you can only say, only Prabhupada, you have done it. No, Prabhupada said, talk, repeat what I have been to telling you and do as I do. Follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, and this way, just like if you walk up the hill, climbing up the hill, very steep hill, the first phase of the hill is very steep, and this is Anartha Nivritti. It seems it never ends. But sooner or later, if we don't give up, if we just hold on to that boat, hold on to the association of devotees, we will be able to reach a stage where we will find it has become a flat now. It has become a little less arduous. Then comes Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav, finally the Darshan of the Lord. So this is amazing, and Srila Prabhupada is giving us the whole, is giving, by his departure to USA, he has prayed for all of us here. And Shukdev Goswami is just like the Western scenario was ready with the hippies. They were like Parikshit models in one sense. They were looking for something. And therefore Shukdev Goswami, Srila Prabhupada appeared like Shukdev Goswami in the Bowery of New York. And that's how Srila Prabhupada started the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada said, the initial disciples said, Prabhupada was sitting in a movement called ISKCON, this car. And we all were simply pushing this vehicle from behind. That's all we did. Prabhupada was driving it all along. And in this way, if we can simply execute our devotional service with responsibility, accountability, regret, repentance, humility, respect, acceptance, indifference, all of these wonderful qualities which Parikshit Maharaj exhibited, one day we will be receiving encouragement and inspiration. We will always receive inspiration and encouragement from our fellow devotees. Just like geese. Sometimes the geese, when they travel far distances, they travel in the whole formation, in the V formation, where the one is the leader. But the one leader cannot lead for long. Because it has a flap. The front and the front part of that formation has to flap, and by the flapping of the front, the rear group also gets the lift. So after some time, when the first batch gets tired, the second one, who are little bit relaxed, they come and take position forward, and then they relax. And this is how the cooperation amongst devotees can take us all, can take the whole formation of geese. They fly through unlimitedly spans of distances. So this is a wonderful day for our deep meditation, entering the mood and prayer that of Srila Prabhupada, with all gratitude to His Divine Rishi A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We would like to express our gratitude by following His instructions, being determined, compassionate, extending to all, understanding, and becoming more surrendered, and trying to give up our independence, being dependent on the association, on the goodwill and the instructions of Guru, Vaishnavas, and the previous Acharyas. And this way our life will become successful, and this way it's easy path back home, back to Godhead. Finally, there was a small, very nice Prabhupada said, sometimes in devotional service, after some years, it will only become intense. It will never become relaxed. Initially, we think, okay, now will be there some relax, there is some plateau. Taman Krishna Maharaj was just recently appointed in Calcutta Temple management. And was saying, Prabhupada, sannyasis are not preaching, they are just singing on harmonium. And we are just have to do everything. I can't take up so much responsibility. It's going beyond me. Prabhupada laughed and laughed and laughed. Prabhupada said, I'll tell you a story. Prabhupada said, in India there is local trains. In that time also, there was such kind of trains that we are experiencing. And in these trains, there is always more people than the seats available. And then the seat was not empty, and the family entered. Husband, wife and 3 children. So then they said, the husband said, Bacche ki thoda sa jagah kiji. Thoda. Bacche ko bithaya. Bacche ki maa bhi hai. Chote bacche ke saath. Dono bit. Thoda. Jagah de denge. So after some time, they got displaced a little bit. And after some time, this fellow said, you only sit with your whole family. And they got up. Krishna consciousness should be packed up like that local train. And if you give small inch of space to Maya, she will take the whole seat. Prabhupada said, good that you are packed up. Remain tight. Remain always busy for Krishna. If you are over busy, that's very good. If you are under engaged, that is the difficulty. And therefore, Maya should not get even an inch of space in our consciousness. And that's why we'll find how Srila Prabhupada did it all that way long. Let us try to become grateful to Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, for giving us such a wonderful gift, and His wonderful disciples, of course, grand disciples. And let us be grateful to everyone who has been a part and who will be a part of this great history. His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai! ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! Kaliyug Pavanji Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai! Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai! Gaur Premanandi. Please forgive me if I have spoken beyond my realizations and hurt some devotees, or please begging for forgiveness and your prayers on this day also. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.